Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. There are new developments today in the case of the 36 people who were arrested at Saturday's Straight Pride Parade and protests. Boston Municipal Court Judge Richard Sinnott has denied the prosecution's motions to dismiss charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest against seven of those protesters who were arrested. There are more arraignments pending. Four officers were injured during the response. WBUR's Quincy Walters has been following the story, and he joins us now on the line. Quincy, hello.
Hello, Tiziana.
So, Quincy, before we get to the court proceedings, you were at the parade Saturday. Remind us what happened. How did these folks end up in court in the first place?
Right. So this weekend was the notorious Straight Pride Parade that started in Copley Square and went to City Hall Plaza. And City Hall Plaza is where there were hundreds of counter-protesters. And Boston police tried to keep those groups separated. There seemed to be a little bit of kettling, police officers, putting themselves between counter-protesters and Straight Pride paraders. And that's where it appeared that some confrontations happened. And it appears that a lot of confrontations happened even after the Straight Pride parade event ended.
So, Quincy, what are the charges that have been brought against those who were arrested?
Most of the charges are for disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, and there are also people who are charged with assault and battery on police officers.
So there's a wide range of these kinds, some more specific, some maybe more vague, is that right?
Right. But the overwhelming majority is resisting arrest and disorderly conduct.
Okay, so you were at the arraignments for these protesters at Boston Municipal Court today. What did the judge decide?
Right. So for the folks who are only facing disorderly conduct and resisting arrest charges, the prosecutors motioned to dismiss those charges because they contend it was a protest. These types of things happen. And the judge denied every single one of those motions for dismissal.
All of them.
Right.
Wow. So why? What was his reasoning?
So he didn't give a firm statement as to why. He only gave a rhetorical question when the prosecutor said, we don't think these charges are serious enough to pursue. He retorted with, well, why don't you think it's serious enough to pursue? And that was really his only, peripheral commentary on the reason for him denying these motions for dismissal.
So, Quincy, what's the response from defendants and prosecutors to the judge's reactions here?
Well, they were definitely not expecting this to happen. I spoke to a few people ahead of their arraignments, and, some of them, this wasn't their first rodeo, and usually, the charges get dropped. As the day went on, it became apparent that the judge was kind of not going along with what might have been the status quo in the past. I overheard one defense attorney saying that he's never seen this before, and then one defendant saying that he was completely not expecting this to happen.
Okay.
And I spoke to one gentleman by the name of Austin George of Worcester, who was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, and he doesn't think many of the arrests were even warranted.
A lot of the people who I personally saw get arrested were not doing anything that I think should be grounds for being arrested.
All right, but Quincy, four officers were injured on Saturday, so what is law enforcement saying about what happened today?
Right. So law enforcement are saying that more than four have been injured, but there are four who are currently out of work because of their injuries. But many of them feel that things got out of control, and they've been advocating for these charges to be pressed. Here's Larry Calderoni, the vice president of the Boston Patrolmen's Police Patrolmen's Association, speaking to reporters earlier today.
So I can go back years of former DAs looking to dismiss disorderly charges, which I'm sure we'll be reminded of. And this DA's office is doing the same thing, but the judge on the bench has taken a different position. We like that position. We think that these offenders that are here came here as agitators, here for a specific reason, here to create havoc.
So, Quincy, he's invoking Suffolk District Attorney there. Two of the charges you mentioned, resisting arrest and disorderly conduct, are on a do not prosecute list that she has published. How does that play into this? Any word from DA Rollins?
Right. So the way this plays into it is that Larry Calderoni said he does not agree with DA Rollins' list of those 15 offenses to not prosecute. But we haven't heard, I haven't heard anything from DA Rollins' office yet today, but we do expect some sort of response since, you know, people are referencing her in this matter.
Okay, that's WBUR reporter Quincy Walters. Thanks for joining us, Quincy.
Thanks, Tiziana.
And we should note that we reached out to District Attorney Rachel Rollins' office to see if she could join us, but she wasn't available today. I want to turn now to WBUR legal analyst Nancy Gertner. She's a retired federal judge and senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Welcome back, Judge Gertner.
Good to be on.
So what is the precedent for the judge to say to prosecutors, no, we're going forward with these?
None.
Okay.
Let me repeat that. None.
So you were surprised then.
There's no authority. There's no... The prosecutor is in complete charge of the charges that he or she wishes to bring and decline. No authority for that at all.
So, okay, so how does the judge do this then, Judge Gertner?
The judge is doing something that is lawless, and I'm happy to say that. The judge is doing something that the judge has no right whatsoever to do. If a prosecutor looks at a case and looks at and says, well, the guy doesn't have a record, or the charges are ambiguous, or I don't think I can prove this, or for whatever set of reasons, and says, I'm not going to go forward, judge doesn't have a right to go forward on his own. The judge can't play prosecutor in this. There's a division of responsibility. The police bring the charges to the prosecutor and say, here's what we saw. Prosecutor makes a judgment about whether to go forward or not, and the judge can't second-guess that. There may be other parts of the proceeding, you know, after the person has been arraigned and there's been litigation. But even then, a prosecutor could say, I don't think there's enough to go forward at any point. So just as far as I'm concerned, it's completely without authority.
I'm wondering, as we mentioned, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, those are on Suffolk DA Rachel Rollins' do not prosecute list. Some have criticized the list for being too lenient, letting people think they can commit sort of crimes with impunity. Do you think that this is the judge pushing back on DA Rollins?
I think the judge is pushing back, and the judge has no right to do that. The judge doesn't make criminal justice policy. That's not for him to make. And it's terribly important not to lump this case with other cases that have been covered, right? A demonstration is notoriously difficult to identify who's doing what. And the quote from the officer about they came as agitators, tell me the difference between agitators and protesters. Tell me the difference between agitators and First Amendment rights. So if these are confusing situations and the district attorney says, I'm going to parse out which situation, you know, one situation from the other, I can't rather parse it out because it's a confusing situation, and I don't want this person to have a record, which they would have with an arrest, that is completely up to her to do. It's not up to the judge. It's up to the people of Suffolk. If they didn't like it, they vote her out. But that's completely up to her to do. So, and the notion that this judge, these judges, have never done it before, you see, they've never done it before because they agreed with the underlying policy. That's not for them to determine.
So here's William Dolan. He's a lawyer representing some of the counter-protesters. His clients were some of those who, you know, the requests for dismissal were denied.
We're confident in our client's case, and we think the videos speak for themselves. We look forward to litigating this in court.
Okay, so some are saying that the police were being overly aggressive, making the case that they get preferential treatment. But what's to be said for prosecuting those protesters who allegedly assaulted officers? How do we bring equally everyone to justice? And are there degrees here that need to be considered? Or are you saying, blanket, he just can't do this and the issue of degree doesn't even come into play?
Well, it's an issue of authority. He has no authority to tell the prosecutor what to prosecute. Full stop. There really is no authority. A prosecutor has the right to plea bargain, right? I'm going to give you this amount of time if you plead to X. Judge can't say, well, I'm sorry, I think you should plead to Y. Actually, in a situation of a plea bargain, the judge could say, I'm not going to accept the plea. And then the prosecutor has to drop the case or go on. But we're not talking about a plea bargain here. We're talking about people, the prosecutor saying, this is not worth my time. Now, again, you may second guess it. Presumably, if an officer was assaulted and there's proof of it, she would go forward on that. If there's ambiguity with respect to what was going on because it was a protest, because people were doing all sorts of things, that's a different issue. But the merits are really irrelevant here. The question is whether a judge has the authority to determine what the prosecutor prosecutes. And I think that the answer is really a categorical no.
So I'm struck, Judge Gertner, Judge Sinnott did something similar in the case of Efrain Rivera. He insisted that Rivera be held on shoplifting charges despite D.A. Rollins' position that he should be set free on bail. So this isn't the first time. You are making, you know, very clear statements that the judge simply can't do this. So what happens?
Bail is a different issue.
Okay.
In a situation of bail, there's a charge. Person is arraigned on the charge, and then it is up to the judge to decide what the bail is. Bail is a different issue. And in a bail situation, Judge Sinnott is saying, I'm not going to go along with your recommendation. That's a different situation that's fully in the judge's responsibility. But what is prosecuted, what the charges are, what the nature of the charges are, is not for the judge to decide.
All right, that's WBUR.
So later on in the process is a different issue, but at the beginning it's up to the prosecutor.
Okay, so I'm going to push the clock a little because I do want to ask you one more question, Judge Gertner. So what happens now? Who gets to make the final call? Where's the arbitration, you know, small a, come in here? How does this end, or what comes next?
Well, I mean, it will be up to the prosecutors to see if they want to take the case up to the Supreme Judicial Court on an extraordinary procedure here. The judge, you know, trying to raise the question of whether the judge has this authority.
All right.
They will have to do that.
That is WBUR legal analyst Nancy Gertner, who's a retired federal judge and senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. Always great to have you. Thank you, Judge Gertner.
You're very welcome.
All right. Stay with us. Coming up, author Madeline Miller on her new book, Circe. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.